Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. But behold, there was a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord. Our catechetical review is found today. We review the table of duties. To parents, we read together, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Ephesians 6:4. To children, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Ephesians 6:1-3. Our epistle reading for today comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess together now the words of the Nicene Creed found in the back cover of your service book. I believe in one God, the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite all the children to come down front and join me. Good morning, girls. Happy 4th of July. Good morning. Good morning. All right. So today, I'm going to be preaching about this guy, this prophet, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. His name is Elijah. And we find him here in this story today that Elijah, we find he's hiding in a cave. And you know why? Because he's scared. He's running for his life. Now, this is a prophet who had been chosen by God to go speak to the people about their sin. And he did that, and he even he killed all these prophets of Baal that were worshiping these other gods and all these things. And then when he hears that Jezebel is after him, the evil queen Jezebel, right? She said that she's going to find him and she's going to kill him. So we find Elijah hiding out in this cave, and he's scared. He's terrified. You guys ever been scared of anything? No? You ever been scared? No? Okay. Yeah. All right. So here's a preacher, like pastor, and he's hiding out in this cave and he's really scared. But God comes to him and he speaks to him there, and he assures Elijah that he's still with him, and he tells him to do some things, which shows Elijah that God is going to be with him. So we know that even today, that sometimes when we don't feel like, we don't think that God is with us, he is with us always because of his promises that we have in his word. He tells us he is with us always. So let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you are always with us. And you promise in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. You can go back to your families. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This morning we hear these words through the prophet Isaiah as God assures his people that his word never changes and abides forever. He assures us of this here today. What comfort this gives us, knowing that the God of the universe speaks only truth that feeds and nourishes our souls. In our Old Testament reading today, we find the prophet Isaiah, here he is hiding out in this cave in despair. The world was falling apart around him. The kingdoms were a mess. The nation of Israel had turned their backs completely on God. Wasn't God watching what was going on? He might have been asking. He ran for his life in fear from retribution from Jezebel. She had sworn to him, after all, that there would be payback for the fact that he had slaughtered all the prophets of Baal at the brook of Kishon. So we find him here in the wilderness, asking that the Lord might take his life. He says, "For I am no better than my fathers," he says. Elijah is simply at the end of his rope, but after being nourished by the angel of the Lord, he journeys on to Mount Horeb, and it is here that we see this encounter he has with Yahweh. So here we see he's got this complaint. He complains to God. He says he's been very zealous for the Lord. The entire nation of Israel has forsaken God and in sin, full of frustration, worry, and despair. He says this, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Are there times in your life where, like Elijah, you've felt forsaken by God? You go to church, you attend Bible study regularly, you pray, reading of the word is a part of your daily routine, you love God's word and you keep it in your heart. You care about what's going on around you and you see things that are quite troubling. The world is changing for the worse right before your eyes and you don't have any control over it. You may say you don't like what you see going on in our nation. Lord, are you watching? Don't you care about all the sin and outright rejection of your word? After all, you allowed this person or that person to be elected to office. Don't you know what's going on? Don't you see or care about what's happening to our government, our state, our community? People make a mockery of you and your holy word. Or you may find something, it's something closer to home for you. Like the person that you'd gone to the altar with not long ago has suddenly cast those marriage vows aside. You feel as if you are literally coming unglued. Or you could have a child who makes poor choices and doesn't seem to be affected by consequences. You worry about getting that dreaded phone call at some point in the middle of the night that something terrible has happened to them. Or you've suddenly found out that you or someone very close to you that you love and care about deeply has unexpectedly found out that they have a disease, the dreaded C word. Your knees buckle under you, your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth. You break out in a cold sweat, a panic. Like Elijah, you feel like the whole world is crashing in on you, and at your lowest point, you ask God to just let you die. You just can't take it anymore. In this text, God takes the time to do some catechizing with perhaps the greatest prophet that we know from the Old Testament, one who thought that he had figured everything out. In fact, we see here that he is so focused inward, he's relying on his own strength. Sinfully, he boasts, I have been very jealous for the Lord, as if to say, look at what I've done and how hard I've worked for you, God. To put Elijah in his place, God shows this amazing display of his power. The creator of the universe shows Elijah that he is able to manipulate time, energy, and matter through a strong wind, earthquake, and fire. Yet God was not found in any one of these, but rather there was a sound of a low whisper. At this point, Elijah covered his face, for he recognized that he was in the very presence of the Almighty. God speaks his word. After asking Elijah again what he was doing there, he proceeds with some commandments. Elijah is to anoint Hazael, king of Syria, anoint Jehu, king of the north, and Elisha as his own successor. He explains to Elijah that through the sword of Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha, God's judgment would fall on the unrepentant. He also tells Elijah that he isn't the only righteous one left, as he speaks of the remnant, this 7,000 or so that have not kissed or bowed down to Baal. God is telling Elijah that, yes, he does see everything. He does know everything. But the judgment on this wickedness does not take place immediately. Several years pass. Elijah didn't see the fulfillment of God's word that he spoke on the mountain in his time. He teaches Elijah that he will do what he says. His word will go forth and accomplish what it is to do. This is the same word that spoke into existence the world and all of creation. The same Jesus, his words that were spoken to Moses, the same voice that said, peace, be still, to calm the winds and the waves. If you look throughout Scripture, God is associated with his word more than any other phenomena. Well, what does this mean for all of us? Here, as he does with Elijah, God reminds us that he is still in control. He appoints rulers to reign on their thrones. He is the one who does this. Yes, he sees everything that is going on here and elsewhere. He has not abandoned his church, his people. God is the judge and will deal with wickedness and people who reject his word. Like Elijah, he reminds us that he does all this according to his will, method, and timetable, not ours. In our gospel text for today, we see a mighty miracle that takes place because the Creator once again speaks his word. Here's Jesus, and can you imagine this? These fishermen, they're cleaning equipment after fishing all night. They caught nothing. They're exhausted at this point, and they just want to go home and sleep. Jesus tells them to put out into the deep and cast their nets there. This is ludicrous. They're probably thinking to themselves, doesn't he know anything about fishing? He's telling us to go out into the deep, the worst part of the lake, and fish, and here it is, noontime. This is the worst part of the day for fishing. But look what happens. At the command of Jesus, his word, they take the boats out. They cast out their nets and drag so many fish in that it nearly pulls their boats under. In the presence of the Word made flesh, Peter recognizes his unworthiness. The one through whom all things were created displays that creation can be manipulated by him simply through his word. Maybe this morning you may find yourself at a very low point. You feel that you're being crushed by the pressure of a situation that seems insurmountable to you, in which you feel there is no hope. All the noise and confusion of the world hold you in constant fear and despair. It is at these times, like Elijah, that God comes in the whisper, the voice, his word. He speaks. He tells you that he has not abandoned you or forsaken you. The same one who spoke the world into existence is the same one who died on the cross for your sins and has saved you from death and hell. It is not for us to figure out Jesus' timeline. His word goes forth and accomplishes what it says it will do. We trust in his promises and forgiveness of sins that never changes, because he has spoken it. Your sins are forgiven. The Father loved us in such a way that he sent his only Son into the world to die in our place. The same Jesus who spoke the world into existence spoke these very words, "It is finished," on the cross. The work of redemption has been won and done on your behalf, as he has bought you with the shedding of his blood. God's abiding word never returns void. He has sealed you as his own here in the waters of baptism, and you continue to rise anew every day, dying to the old Adam and rising to new life in Christ Jesus. And someday, when you pass this life into eternity, you will then be with the one who has called you to be his own. And you have the sure promise of that and the resurrection. Death has not defeated the risen Savior. We know this because the word is truth and has accomplished this. When in sin, we doubt, are filled with anxiety and full of despair, dear saints, he has not left you. He has not left us. He has not abandoned you. When, like Elijah, we don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things, he forgives us. Amid your personal crisis, he has not turned his back on you. When all your world comes crashing in around you and you stand fast in his word and trust in his promises for you, in an ever-changing world of sin and despair, his word abides forever. This morning I leave you with these words found from the prophet of Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In the name of Jesus, amen.